Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lioness Lounge. I am your host, Takresha Blunt. I am the owner and founder of Takresha S. Blunt Coaching and Consultant, as well as Blissful Brew Teas, your online gourmet specialty tea company. And my new company that's coming out will be all geared around notary and loan signing agents, where we will be dispatching notaries out to do assignments actually in all 50 states. So I'm excited about that. I wanted to come on and I wanted to talk to you all about walking in your purpose and living. And then I'm just gonna ramble on because I don't want to go live while I'm driving and I'm about to take an hour drive to go pick up something for work. So I wanted to just do a podcast, and I was like, that way I'm not trying to see comments and driving and safety purposes and stuff like that. So with that being said, I want to talk about stepping into your purpose, and then I don't know where the conversation is going to go from there. I invited you all to come on and get on while I'm live and listen. I don't know if anybody's going to jump on, but if you do, just let me know so that I can bring you on board, or I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, because I'm going to get on the highway and I'll be on the interstate for about 45 minutes or so. Well, what I wanted to talk to you about is stepping into your purpose and actually living in your purpose. So I get a lot of talk and a lot of messages and stuff where a lot of people, they don't know what direction to go and they hold themselves back. I was talking to a friend last night and she was saying, well, I really want to do this, but I don't know. And I'm like, just do it. But I don't know. And I really want to do it. And I'm like, just do it. So then I'm like, just do it. Do it. Stop putting the limitations on what you think is going to happen and see what can really happen, what could be your outcome. Because just because you think it might not turn out well doesn't mean that it's not going to turn out well. So with that being said, I was telling her, just do it, just do it, just do it. Well, midday today, she texted me and she was like, I did it. I'm so excited. It actually turned out well. And sometimes we limit ourselves and who we are and our ability to do things because we're not around the right people. And when I say that is, if you are around people who aren't celebrating other people and their wins, their gains, even encouraging them if they didn't win or gain with something, encouraging them to, hey, it's okay, let's get back in there, let's do this again, or, you know, something along those lines, then of course you're going to always be down and you're going to always feel like you can't achieve or accomplish something. But when you start being around people who know how to celebrate other people, see, it's a thing when you have a circle of people. But it is an amazing thing when you have a huge community that pushes you. It took me a minute to really understand that in life, because I was looking like, oh, I got all these friends and, you know, everything is good. We get along. But some of my friends don't know how to celebrate other people, or the friends I had didn't know how to celebrate other people because they never saw people celebrating others. So coming around me is a whole different vibe. And I had a friend, it used to be funny, me and her are really, really close. And she always would say, that's because they hate me. And one day I said, listen here, they don't even know you. You stop saying that. Stop wishing hate on yourself. And she looked at me and she said, sis, what you talking about? I said, you don't even realize you say that so much. And she said, what did I say? I said, you always say, that's because they hate me. And I was like, don't nobody hate you. They admire you. They think you amazing. So you got to stop doing that to yourself and realize how great you are. She was like, sis, I didn't even realize I was saying that. I know, because it becomes a second nature that we don't realize some of the things that we say. So when she stopped doing that, she saw things in a different view. When you're around me, that's how I do things, is I want you to see things in a different view. I want you to see, hey, I'm not going to be liked by everybody, but the ones that like me, we're going to rock out and we're going to have a great time. That's all that matters. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. I'm not trying to win a beauty contest. I'm trying to walk in my purpose. And I'm trying to walk in my dream. I don't want to be a model. I don't want to be a celebrity spotlight. But I have people who look up to me and that look at me in a certain way. So they want me to conduct myself certain ways. But then there's time. I'm human. I slip. I might get into it and post a lot of stuff on my page that might make you say, what's she fussing about? What's wrong with her? Who messing with her? Well, you know, I've had an issue for the last 16 months almost. So sometimes I address that. I'm human. And some of the things that have happened to me has made me angry enough, and I'm not gonna say angry, has pushed my button that I have spoken out. So I'm never gonna say, well, I'm never gonna do anything like that, because I will, and you will. We can't all walk around like we some angels. We can't all walk around like nothing bothers us. We can't all walk around like everything is perfect in our life, because life is life. And whatever life gives us, it gives us. But you cannot just give up on what you desire in life. You can't just say, excuse me, y'all. You can't just say, hey, I'm not going to be anything. I'm not going to ever have anything. Nothing is ever going to be my right way. If I start this business, I'm going to fail. I'm going to lose my money. Well, you wouldn't know if you don't try. You got to put forth the effort of something. And you know, when I do my podcast, I'm speaking to the ladies. And men, I know you guys listen to my podcast, and I hope it helps you as well. But I have to address my ladies, because this is the ladies' lounge. We are so stuck on, I can't spend my last dollar. I can't spend my last penny. Oh, I got to hold on to this. Oh, I got to go run and I got to go get this car. I got to drive a Bentley. I got to drive a Lexus. I got to drive a Mercedes. I got to drive this. I got to do that. You could be rich, happy in a Honda. You could be rich, happy in a Toyota. If it is a car that you like, then get it. You don't have to go the extra mile to try and prove or impress somebody and put yourself in a situation that you can't afford. That was one thing that I learned the hard way. You run out here and you go get in this debt. Well, I had no idea that Cadillacs, the maintenance and repair on a Cadillac when I had my DTS, I did not know that it was so freaking expensive. I went to go get an oil change. I went to the Cadillac place, Massey over there off of on the trail. And he said it was going to cost me about $800. And I'm like, I just want an oil change and a tune-up. He said, yeah, it's going to cost you about $800, Ms. Blunt, because we got to drop the engine. And I'm looking like, what the hell that mean? Just take the thing off and change the spark plugs. He was like, no, it's not like that, especially with this engine. So I'm like, oh, shoot, I don't want to pay $800. So then I went to a couple of other places that fixed cars that were certified Cadillac dealers. Everybody had the same price. So I was like, they must have called each other, you know, because I didn't know. But I wanted this Cadillac because all the people that I was hanging around were older women. They either was driving Cadillacs or they had a Continental or they had something along those lines. So I'm like, well, I'm with these people all the time, so I got to get what they got. When all along, I didn't need that because I didn't know these women are retired. They retired, they got good pensions, or they got a husband and they got good pensions. And not that I didn't have anybody at that time, because I was in a relationship. So I went home and I told him, I said, well, I went and got estimates and they told me it's going to cost me about $800 to get the tune-up. So he said, well, let me call my uncle. And he called his uncle and he said, Journey, my lady went to go get the car, get the tune-up and an oil change, and they telling her $800. He said, yeah, and the only person can touch it is a certified Cadillac repair person, because there's a certain bolt that requires a certain tool to drop that engine. So needless to say, we had to pay the $800 to get this car fixed, and I was like, man, I don't want this car no more. I started looking at my car like, this ain't what I signed up for. But I had to, you know, do what I did until I got rid of it and got something else. But had I not stepped out in my purpose, I would not have been able to pay that $800. Yes, at the time, the person I was with, he gave me a portion, a big portion of the 800, and then I just put the difference with it. But I didn't blank it, neither did he, because we had positioned ourselves that if something like that happened, it just happened and we could just move on. And that's what we don't realize. Positioning yourself so that if something happens, it just happens. You go ahead, take care of whatever it is, and you move on. There is nothing wrong with you saying, I like this kind of car. If you like minivans, go and buy you one. Nobody cares. And if they do care and they have something to say, they got issues within their self. They got issues with their own problems, things going on in their life. And the only way they feel like they could be accomplished is by trying to tear somebody else down. There are a lot of toxic people in this world. And we as people have to realize, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what level of ignoring you do with these toxic people, they are going to always stay the same. They're going to continue because they get joy and fulfillment out of that type of lifestyle. We can't stop what we're doing because somebody else has an issue with what you're doing. If you want to sell lip gloss and you know an amazing way to make lip gloss and that's what you want to do, but you got somebody behind you saying, well, you know, everybody else doing that, why would you want to do it? That ain't your problem what everybody else doing. It's not your problem what everybody else is doing. What your problem is stepping forward and making sure you do what you desire to do. Say you want to do this lipstick stuff and then it don't work, this lip gloss. At least you try. Don't look at it as, oh, I lost all my money. No, you took a chance on what you wanted to do. Something that was in your near future that you had a vision of, and you stepped out there. You may have lost money because you didn't have the proper coaching. And that's another thing. You can't go and hire all these people who claim they are coaches, because a lot of people just jump on the bandwagon. You can't go and hire all these people who tell you they're going to help you get business credit and all this other stuff. Let me tell you what, and fix your credit. Everybody was on that whole thing about they're going to fix your credit, to the point where somebody started an MLM, F something, I forget the name of it. They started an MLM for you to fix your credit, okay? A lot of people jumped on that. Oh, they're going to make residual income. They're going to make all this money. They're going to make $1 million because they're going to sign up all these people. Well, lately, and this just recently started happening, the credit bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and what's the other one? Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian have actually been sending people letters saying, did a credit repair company do this for you? They've never done this. You know what the problem is? The problem is, see, these people join these credit repair places and they jumped on these bandwagons of, oh, I can fix credit, because they brought a course from somebody and they had the letters. So then they telling you, I can fix your credit. I know what to do because this will help me and I got all my stuff deleted. You never want it deleted off of your thing. You don't want to have no credit at 35, 40 years old. You want to have some credit, something. You can't just have nothing on your credit unless you just stepped out the penitentiary. So as you guys are hiring these people, so let's just use Lisa. Y'all know I like to use the name Lisa. Just to say Lisa tells you she fixed credit. So now you like, oh, how much you charge, Lisa? And she tell you that she charged, just say $500, and she'll make sure these things get deleted off your credit. So you send Lisa the $500 and she gets to work on your credit. She takes that same letter that she used for Brenda, that she used for Mike, that she used for Keisha, that she used for Tanya, that she used for Miss Mary, for everybody. Same letter, and all she did was change the date and your name. That's it. Nothing else. No customization to it. It's the same letter that they have sent out multiple times to multiple people who have given them this $500. So now you're trying to figure out, why is TransUnion or Equifax or Experian sending me this letter? What do I do? Oh, write them back and tell them you didn't do a credit. You didn't hire a credit repair company. Okay. If you hire one, you got to tell them that you did. Because what's wrong is, If they find you lying, that makes it even worse. That makes it even worse. So if you come from Lisa and you come over here to Keisha and say, well, I paid Lisa $500 and she couldn't fix my credit. You were wrong because you didn't find out when they say fix your credit, what are you actually doing? Are you telling these people this isn't mine? Or are you going to make legitimate phone calls and try and get me some arrangements to pay this stuff off? See, you'll come out better if you make a deal with the creditor and say, hey, I wanna pay you guys. I can't afford to pay you what I owe, and I know I made these charges, but can you make me an offer? But when you make me the offer and I pay you, can you please take away these late fees and this account closed this way and just make it as account paid agreed upon? Most of the time they want their money. So okay, we'll take that, Miss Jones, and we're gonna do this for you. But you gotta go two steps further than that, because word of mouth is one thing. You want that in writing. So can you send me that either through email, or can you send it to me through the mail so that I can write you a money order or a check and send you this money? Because if you tell me yes, then that agent is telling you yes. So when you call back 30 days later and it still show the same thing, and you know that's not what they told you, you have your documentation. See, we don't step out and do what we're supposed to because everybody's in a rush. Let's hurry up, let's hurry up, let's hurry up. You got to slow down and take care of your responsibilities. You have to slow down and say, I'm gonna dedicate this hour to just focused on this project or this person or this information that I need to get done. So if you know you got to fix your credit and you don't know what's going on and you don't know how to do it and all of this, and you going out to hire, you got to research those people. Because if they telling you, you pay me every month X, Y, and Z. See, what the problem is, most credit repair people not going to tell you. You're not supposed to pay them until after they fix the credit. If you're in Georgia and you're my client, I stand a chance of being sued and sent to jail. So I can't touch you in Georgia. If you're in Ohio, I can't touch you in Ohio. Ohio got stricter rules. Some states are getting more strict with their rules, and people don't realize that. We don't understand that no matter what we do, we cannot beat the system. So I was on this lady's TikTok, and she said, stop trying to take everything off your credit and lie and say that you didn't do this when you know that's your bill. Pay the bill. There's certain credit and certain history that creditors, depending on what you're going for, like a house and all of this stuff, they look at something totally different. You're going to slow yourself up trying to get a house. Yeah, you could go buy a Mercedes. You could buy a Mercedes with a 500 credit score. You just ain't getting a big luxury Mercedes. You could get a 230, whatever that the small Mercedes car is. You can't go on the BMW and get anything. But in the Mercedes world, yeah, you could get the smaller budget car and build your credit from that car. The little small, the cheaper version. I'm not going to say cheap because ain't nothing cheap these days. But who cares? You're chasing a name. You got to get yourself right. I messed myself up because I started paying. First, I messed myself up because I always was helping people. Well, I need to get this. I need a co-signer. So, okay, I'm going to co-sign for you. Then they don't pay the bill. And then I'm the type of person, that ain't my bill. I'm not paying it. Not knowing, well, kind of knowing, but didn't really understand back then how bad it would affect me. So then I got my credit back right. I'm doing good. I'm literally at 805. I am ecstatic. I'm happy. But then it came to the point where, okay, I'm going to let you use this car. Kids will do this to you. I'm going to let you use this car. Make sure you keep this bill paid. And then they weren't paying. And then, you know, like my cell phone, I got a line. I got a whole new separate account for mine. And I say, this is y'all account. Don't mess this account up. My kids go out, they getting iPads, they getting all this stuff because they had all the information to get into the account. So that account kind of got a little crazy for a minute, and the bill was high as hell, but we finally got it, you know, all of these extra lines turned off because we don't need it and all this extra stuff. But we don't realize how damaging we can be, especially when we're stuck on not moving forward. I was watching that 90 Day Marriage, and the one elder lady, I can't think of her name. I don't even watch that show like that to know their names. But the one lady who got the boyfriend over in India, or the fiance or the husband, whatever he is, in India, she went to her financial institution and she said, I'm moving to India. And with the money, he said, well, how much money do you have on hand? She said $6,000 or $9,000. He said, well, with the money you have in your bank account, you probably can live for about 3 to 6 months off the money that you have. But she's adamant about going to India. You got to position yourself. Well, if somebody came to you and said, you know, if an opportunity came for you and you could leave, or even if something happened, how much money do you have put away that how much can you live off of if you couldn't work? See, I remember having a project manager with me, and he said he was going to quit because his wife was having a baby. And I say, well, you really want to quit? I was like, because, you know, babies are expensive. I got 4. I'm trying to tell you. Things happen. You go through this money, and then the insurance is solely off of you. So now you talking about quitting, and I'm not stopping you, but I'm asking you to really think about it. And he was a younger project manager. He was a little bit younger than me. And he said, well, Miss T, what you mean? I say, when you leave the job, you no longer have the insurance. Yeah, but I could pay for everything out my pocket. I said, all right, so we're going to look at all of this and we're going to analyze it. So one evening, me and him sat down, we went through the numbers. He said, yeah, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to see, can I take that paternity leave? I say, that would be the best thing. And then get FMLA in case you need to take off to help your wife out. Because immunization was going to cost. Regular doctor's appointment was going to cost. The wife, the hospital bill, all of this stuff was going to cost, which would have drained his bank account. But he didn't think about that because they also have other bills. So he's still with us. And he actually, he's here with me, and he even told me. He said, I want to thank you because 8 years ago, you told me something, and I stuck by what you're saying, and it has been the best thing. Yeah, I get a little crazy when I'm gone too long, but I've been able to provide and build my bank account up, so when I'm ready to stop, we have a nice nesting egg. I was like, and that's what I do. See, a lot of times people make judgment on you because they don't know you. They don't know your personal life. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know what you've been through. They don't know what you're dealing with. They don't know what you're planning for. So they instantly say, oh, she broke. I'm going through this right now. Somebody has the whole entire outlook on my life, past, present, and future, but don't know me, never met me, but obsessed with trying to piecemeal something about me together. So when I say that, it's like, okay, here I am. I could do anything in my life that I want to. If I wanted to buy a house, I literally could go pay cash for it. Because see, one thing my coach Grant told us in a training, he said, if you can't pay by 2, you're not ready for it. So if I truly wanted to buy a house, I got enough money to buy 2. When you say you got enough money to buy 2, you got to really mean it. So if the house is just, say, $450,000, do you have $900,000 in the bank where if you spend that $450,000, you still got money left? So when I asked that question on Facebook, a lot of people was like, why pay cash? Financing and the rates are so low. Why finance? Why finance? I'm going to finance myself. I'm going to go pay cash for this. So I just invested in Tecretia, and I just took this $450,000 and I laid it on the table, and I told the people, I'm paying cash for this house, and closing is included in this, and the inspection is included in this $450,000. You take this offer or not? So here comes the family that I'm buying the house from. They say, yeah, we'll take this offer. Or even if I go to a new construction, I'm giving you cash money. I come with a briefcase with $450,000 cash. straight from the bank with the bank withdrawal slip showing, so that nobody can say what she where she get this money from, and it open up a case with our, you know, the investigations and stuff. So you gotta know what you're doing when you're paying cash. I learned that when I started buying my cars cash, and I paid for my mother's car cash. So you take this $450, and I go to them and I say, I want this house built like this model right here. And they tell me, well, this model runs $480. Well, I'm going to give you $450 cash. What can you give me? And I wanted to include everything I need, including closing costs. And then you get this and you pay cash. So now I just invested. I'm the investor for Takresha. Takresha Investment just brought Takresha a house. So, and then I'm going to say, okay, you got to pay me $2,000 a month for mortgage, Takresha, paying Takresha. So I'm going to put that $2,000 in a high yielding bank account where that even though I put it in there, I'm going to make money off of it. Might not be a whole lot, but I'm going to make some money off of it. Well, 2-3 months go down the line, I decide, all right, I'm going to take $6,000 and I'm going to take that $6,000 and I'm going to go and invest it in something. So now that investment is bringing me money. So not that I'm not paying a mortgage, but I'm paying the best kind of mortgage, because the mortgage that I'm paying is paying myself back, but I'm making money off of that. But I don't have a mortgage to pay. So one of my guys here, he said, I like that concept. He said, I never thought about that. And he told me, he said, right now, I sold my house and we moved to Denver. It is so much higher from Louisiana to Denver. So what's happening now is I gotta work longer because it's gonna take me longer to pay off the new house. But had you paid cash, all you need is a little bit of work. You can go part-time, you can go work wherever you wanna work, because you just need to pay your necessities, your property tax, and your homeowners association fees. That's it, nothing else. Maintenance, general upkeep, be smart, go ahead and get a home warranty. We use Cinch on all of ours. Go do the home mortgage, home warranty, so that if an appliance goes out, the plumbing gets clogged, the electrical mess up, we already taking care of that. You got to prepare yourself. You got to step out on faith, and you got to do things right. And then I hear people say, well, I don't have the money to pay all that. I don't have the money like you to do all of that. You don't need the money like I do. I asked a simple question on Facebook last week. And I said, on average, how much do you spend a day on coffee and lunch per day? The majority of people said $50. I pay $47.31 or something like that. Just say $48 a month for our home warranty. That's a home warranty, not insurance. That's different. This is a warranty that covers your appliances and everything. So now I could miss eating lunch. I could take my lunch one day, and I don't drink coffee. I drink tea. I could make my own tea, which I already do. I only go to Starbucks for that dragon fruit drink, which it don't taste the best up where I'm at right now. So I don't even go over there for that. And I could go and I could do one day, because I'm spending $50 a day. So now if I go one day without spending that $50, that takes care of one bill. Fix enough food to take your lunch the next day and call it a day. All right, so then if you think about it, all right, that's your lunch. You spending $50 a day on food and coffee. That's a lot. But you could take that and pour it back into your home, and that takes care of that. Now, say you rent an apartment and you don't need a home warranty because the apartment covers. I swear, I just want an apartment live, because they cover everything, and I can have a pool and not have to worry about the maintenance and the upkeep and all of that. Home ownership is more than what you really think it is. And I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't really want to buy a house if I got to pay all of that. That's how I feel. I'm stingy with my money now. I used to be like, oh, I'm going to just go do. Then I realized, why am I doing all of this? So now, if you're renting an apartment and just say it's something you want to do, there's a trip you want to take. There's a certain thing you want to buy. And you spend it $50 a day and just say the thing costs $200. You take 1 week and take your lunch to work 1 week a month. or one Monday a month, or one Wednesday a month. They go the money to buy what you want to buy, and you ain't got nothing to worry about. See, we don't look at stuff like that and see the blessing that we have, that we can spend that $50 a day. It's not that you being cheap. You're doing something. Everybody don't have to know what you're doing. You handling your business. You minding your business. You doing what is your business. What you desire to do. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. So now we move forward and you say, I'm going to say you want to start a business, but you don't have the startup money and you don't know how you're going to do it. But you know that all the stuff you need going to cost you $1,500. You're spending $50 a day. Put yourself on a strict restriction. I'm not going to spend all this extra money this month because I need to take that money and I want to start my business. I want to go ahead and dump into something that's my business and do. When I started my tea company, it's almost 7 years now. When I started Blissful Brew Teas, I literally was in the airport in Chicago's O'Hara, minding my business. It's nighttime, I'm sitting in there and I'm thinking, because I just left this business conference that motivated me so much. And I said, I want a tea company, but I don't know what to do. I don't know where to start. So I pulled out my tablet, out my bag, and I started writing. Tea company. England, China, India. Those places I knew you get that tea came from. So first thing I did, I wrote down what I wanted. I didn't know the name. I didn't know the colors that I wanted. I didn't know the logo look or the design that I wanted. I knew nothing. All I knew is I was going to start my own tea company. I am going to Teavana. I was on my way. Where was I? I was on my way back to a job. Because I took off and I went to that. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back. And every day on my lunch break, I'm going to make some phone calls. Because on my lunch break, I would go sit out in my car anyways. So I go out there and I'm making calls. And I'm making calls. And I'm like, okay, this ain't working. Phone bill gonna be high as hell, but I'm trying to start my business. And I didn't mind. So I called one of the girls that was with us at the conference. And I said, hey, I want to talk to you about something that I want to do. She said, okay, sis, what you want to do? So I ran it by her. She said, oh my God, I'm about to pass out. I'm about to fall out my chair. She said, you sat there so serious and you wrote so many notes. I knew you was up to something. I'm so excited for you. Okay, what you need me to help you with? Because I'm here for this. And I say, I just don't know yet. I'm trying to still figure this out. She said, well, take your time. Use the steps that we learn, and then you get stuck. Let's get back together and let's make it happen. So I did that. It took me about a good 3 weeks to have it laid out. I even wrote down some names as I was going through it. I'm just writing down, keeping notes, writing down, keeping notes. Just kept it going, kept it going. I called her back and I say, listen, hear this out and let me know what you're saying. Please be honest with me. So she critiqued me. She told me what I needed. She felt I needed to change. So then we kept going. And I'm going to find that video and I'm going to post it on my Facebook page. And when I did that, I kept calling. I'm still calling, trying to find me a manufacturer to make me some teas because I didn't want my teas to be just the normal tea. Black tea, white tea, green tea. You could make a sweet tea out of this. I didn't want that. I wanted flavor. I wanted different. I wanted it different. I really wanted it to be a dessert. So I happened to call this company in England. And I started, and I love English people, their dialect. Oh my God, they talk so amazing. So I call, and I'm talking to this guy, and he says, oh my gosh. He said, Miss Takresha, where are you located? And I told him I'm in Orlando. He says, oh, we just opened a mini warehouse there in Orlando. Now I'm like, what? He said, I'm going to set you up with my brother who's there until we can get over there. We're moving to Orlando, but our main headquarters will be here. But I'm retiring and I'm going to move to Orlando. So my brother is there setting everything up. So after we hung up the phone, my phone rung. I answered it and it wasn't even 10 minutes later. He invited me to come to their shop. So I go to their shop and I say, oh my God. And he had me put the suit. Like, you got to suit up. because this stuff is sterile in there. So you just can't walk in there and just think you just gonna walk in. You gotta go and wash your hands real good. Put this Tyvek type outfit on. It's just a white jumper, and then you put your hair bonnet on, and you put some gloves on, and you put the booties on your shoes. So I go and I'm like, okay, I am so, y'all don't know how happy I was to do this. So he's showing me all the stuff. He's asking me what blends I wanted. He told me how much stuff was going to cost. He gave me prices. Told me that when I talked to the Somalian, I got to get XYZ done. And this is going to happen. And then once I pay the Somalian, this is going to happen. This is a tea expert. I later on got certified as a tea expert. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready. And then when he told me the prices, I was like, well, damn, I didn't think it was going to cost that much. But I didn't flinch because I had money put away. So I said, okay, I don't think I'm going to have a problem with the startup. So then I had a logo design, and I got my logo design. I'm all excited. I got the guy that I use on Freelancer. He took care of me. I was excited. When I showed the guy my logo, and I said I want black matted bags because this is one that's going to make my logo really stand out. He agreed. So I did the black matted bags. He told me what to call. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to call this place, and I want you to order whatever quantity you want. Don't go low so that when we start filling your orders, we don't run out. Okay. So I called this place. I go on their website. I look. I say, they cheap as hell. So I called the lady. I said, I want 10,000 bags. She says, okay, where is it going? And I told her. She said, oh, I'll give you a discount. See how your blessings roll in? Because I was doing what was right for me. I wasn't doing what I saw somebody else do. I stepped out there and I started my own tea company. Then I asked him, I said, can you explain to me why I can't get loose tea and why I got to get it in a bag? So he explained to me, Takresha, I got to do it this way because you want the same flavor, the same aromatic every time they drink your tea to have the same flavor. Now, if I put it loose, some of the stuff is going to settle. I say, oh, I know what you're talking about because I did that at Tivana. And when I brought this one tea, I could never get that same taste that I got while I was in the store. He said, that's because it's settled. And when you scoop, you don't scoop up enough of the same mixture of ingredients that you did when they did it in the store. So that made perfect sense to me. So I have a vision board party. I don't know if y'all ever came, but I do vision board parties every year. I had a vision board party at a Brazilian steakhouse, and that was the launch of my tea business. That night I launched my tea business. While they were doing their vision board, I gave them all some tea to drink. They didn't know it was my tea. I got their honest opinion of the tea while we was there. They were all surprised when I said now the big announcement is the tea that you're drinking is now my tea brand. I have today, I'm officially launching Blissful Brew Teas. I did a whole video with my daughter. I don't like being on camera like that. Back then I did. Now I really don't care. But I did my tea company. I stepped out there and I did it. I invested a lot of money. That's not the first business that I invested that much money in, because I was going to launch a wine business and I was going to have flavored wine. The problem was the grapes, California got real dry and there was a lot of wildfires. And the company that was making my wine was one that was affected by that fire. So the lady, she felt so bad. She was like, I am so mad that this happened, but I'm going to try to get you some money back. And she held up to that. She wasn't able to get me all my money, but I got some of my money back. And I took that and added a little bit to that, and I started my tea business. I have been successful in my tea business. Can I be more successful? Yes, I can. It's my fault if I'm not more successful, because I slack sometimes. But when I want to get another contract, I get it. I just got one the other week. I got a contract with another bed and breakfast. I have two in the Bahamas. I am happy with that. When I fly over there, I fly over there, take care of my business, and I come on back. End of story. If I got the cruise, when I go cruise, I take extra tea with me, and I get off the boat with my tea, and I go and I stock up their stuff, or I let them get them some new stuff that I have in stock. I let them know ahead of time. When I get to the Bahamas, I have a driver because I deal with them so much. I call him or I text him and be like, hey, Tiger, I'm coming to the Bahamas on such and such day. I'll be getting off the boat or I'll be at the airport. And he makes sure that I'm taken care of. See, you got to step out there and you got to try and do something. My next venture sometime next year is to open an actual brick and mortar tea business. I will have a tea company business, physical place in Orlando. I don't know where I'm gonna do it. I'm really looking at the Winter Park area, but then I was looking at iDrive. So I don't know yet. It's still there. I put it out there in the universe and it's gonna happen. I'm going to, if I can't make it today, I'm going sometime next week. There's a tea company where I'm at here. I went to one when I was in El Paso working, and I love their jars and how they had their jars set up. Well, this one, I passed the other day taking another road to the hotel, and I saw another tea company. And I was looking in the window because they was closed, but I was amazed. So I was like, oh, I'm going in there because I need some more ideas and information. I don't know if they'll be that friendly like the guy in El Paso was, but even if they're not, I could just get a visual look of everything that I want to get and need, or what I should be looking at having in my tea shop. See, a lot of people do not want you to be successful because you intimidate them, or you make them see what they missed out on for whatever reason. But even if that person, and this is for the ones that get angry, that get frustrated because they see somebody celebrating their happiness, you could be doing the same thing if you stop feeling attacked by everything that that person does. You could be that same person celebrating life if you really hung around the right people in life. Nobody's life is perfect. I don't have a perfect track record. I don't have a perfect life. I don't claim to have a perfect life. I have a life. That's all I claim. I have a life. I live on my own standards. I'm not watching somebody and saying, oh, she's smaller than me. I don't care. I got to care about me. I got to worry about what I feel, how I feel about myself. And me trying to idolize somebody or criticize somebody isn't what's going to make me feel well. Because, see, it may make them feel irrelevant, but deep down inside, they destroy. They not happy. They're not having the life that they truly want because they're too busy trying to find jabs to take at you. They're too busy trying to put on a scene for social media. But all you got to do is continue to walk in your purpose and your position in life that you desire. That could be you as well if you get off of feeling attacked and negative about anything that everybody do. Just like I said, it's who you hang around. It's what your company is. It's who you be with. I sat in a room with almost 4,000 people earlier this year. These people didn't know me from Adam. I got two clients from there one night. Two clients. Not only did I get two clients from there, I made lifetime friendship with a lot of them. We still talk. We help each other. We motivate each other. We talk. We uplift. We keep it going. But see, a lot of y'all don't understand that. You don't understand how important it is of who you need to be around and who you don't need to be around. I got people that I've known all my life, but I don't be around them. We still speak. We still talk. We don't have no beef. But I need to grow. And I needed to plant myself where I could grow. So I'm planting amongst people that motivate me, that push me, that give me strength and give me courage. Now, I have people that need me for that same thing. So how can I be somebody if I'm always trying to tear somebody down? How can I be somebody if I always feel like, well, I got to take a jab at this person because that I feel like that was about me? But see, you wrong. Life ain't all about that. I don't wake up in the morning looking for something evil. to say happen to somebody. I don't wake up in the morning to say, oh, they gonna die, or oh, they gonna get hit by a car, oh, they gonna this and that. The only people I be frustrated with in the morning time is them freaking people that call you spam likely. Cause see, I'm on the West Coast right now. But they call me and it be 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and here they come calling. And I say sometime to them when I answer, if I answer the call, I say, why are you calling me so early? It is only 4 o'clock over here where I'm at. You got to have a life in India. And I just hang up. And then I get some more, and then I keep getting more, but I can't let that be my stop in life. That's the only thing that bothers me. And that don't always bother me, because sometimes I just play along with them and make them mad. But no woman walking this face of earth intimidates me. No woman walking this face of earth makes me jealous. I don't care if you got the best shape in the world. If you the prettiest thing in the world, kudos, sis, I'm rooting for you. I could care less what you have going on. Now, if I really like what you're doing, then I'm going to use that to push me to do better. But I'm not going to use something that you're doing that's getting you ahead in life to feel like I need to attack you. Or to feel like I need to put you down or make you feel a certain kind of way, or that I gotta try and do all this weird stuff to you because it's not necessary. The only thing that's necessary is that you live your life the way that you wanna live your life. You can't keep going around thinking you got to be negative to be happy in life, because that just shows you're not happy at all. You're not happy inside. See, you could try to put on a front. See, social media got a lot of people fucked up right now. And that's because everybody want to be this big bad wolf on social media. But when they have access to get to you for a length of time and they avoid it until you're not around, that just proves even more that social media got some people feeling like they Mike Tyson in a ring when he was at his young age. Got people feeling like they Evander Holyfield at his young age. Muhammad Ali at his young age. But y'all ain't realizing after a while all of that gets old and wore out and people don't care anymore. People start disassociating with you, distancing themselves from you, because all you have is negative energy around you. People don't want to be around people with just negative energy. They want to be around some uplifting things, some things that's going to make them happy in life, some things that they can see and grow from. But then you do have that small circle of people, they come together and they happy and they okay with being negative with each other. Like they feel like, oh, well, my friend over here, Lisa, she cool with it. She said I ain't do nothing wrong, because she doing wrong. Y'all on that same bullshit together, so y'all gonna continue that same bullshit. But then a lot of times it don't even be anybody motivating that person to do it, because they done lost all their friends. So instead of saying I don't have no friends left, see, I'm the one that'll tell you, yep, I ain't got no friends, it's just me out here in the world. If that was the case in my life, that's what I say. But I got thousands of friends. I got thousands of sisters and brothers throughout the United States and overseas. I socialize, I mingle, I connect with people, I build with people. I try to bring us all together. It's a thing called sisterhood. I've been in it almost 30 years. You can't tear me down from it. You can't. I had one of my members tell me such and such on social media talking about the Eastern Stars and saying that, you know, nobody shouldn't be in it because that ain't the God way and this and that. How would you know if you ain't never been in it? Oh, because you read something that said we do all this stuff. I've been in there almost 30 years. I ain't never seen a sacrifice. I've never seen anybody worship anybody. I have seen some people kiss some people ass, but that happened at your job. So I guess you don't need to be at the job either, because that's the God way. God say don't be there, you know, according to them. But when you ain't never been in something, you don't know. We take time. We put back into the community. But see, the God way ain't telling you, listen, you need to be somewhere that's going to give you the ability to help others. Some of these churches don't even open their doors to feed the needy. or even to help their own members in a time of need when they need somebody. So you just got to take your time and you got to step out there and you got to say, moving forward, all I'm going to do in life is what I need to do to keep me happy, to put me in a place. You want to buy a house? Don't buy no house right now. Stop putting that money in the bank. Pretend like you're paying that mortgage right now. I know it's kind of hard because rent don't went up in most places. But if you can, put some of that money in the bank. Pay yourself. Put it in a savings. And don't touch it. That's a discipline that you got to learn. So you put all this money in the bank and you say, okay, I'm going to put this in the bank. I'm not going to touch it. I'm going to keep every month. I'm going to put some money in the bank. You know, and you keep going. Then when the market come down just a little bit and it's affordable again, now you go and you buy your house. But this time, you either pay the whole thing in cash or the bulk of it in cash. Now, I know y'all probably saying, Takresha, you know, we don't make the money you make. Y'all don't even know what I make. I may make $12 an hour. Y'all wouldn't know. Y'all wouldn't know. But I guess you would if you follow my social media, because my biggest thing right now, I will not date a man. I don't like women. A man that makes $35,000 or less again in my life. And there's a reason behind that. When you date beneath you, sometimes these men will try to bring you down because they're intimidated. When you work harder than the man that you're with, sometimes that's intimidating because he don't want to move any further than what he's doing, and he's going to get intimidated because you doing and going the extra mile. I'm going to work some more overtime. I'm going to work another day of overtime. Now he looking, why, you don't never be home. Well, I'm working to bring in more money, so why do you care? See, and then the other thing is, now this is where everything gonna start twisting and I'm gonna probably be all over the place. When we break up with somebody, there's no reason for you to rush and be with somebody else that fast. Take your time. Let your body detox itself out. We don't even think about that. Because see, the Bible, and even if you don't read the Bible, you could go look at the Holy Quran. You could do whatever you want to do. But it tells you, it clearly states, when a man inserts himself in a woman, he leaves a piece of him in her. See, I'm going to say it again. When a man inserts himself in a woman, he leaves a part of him, a piece of him in her. So with that being said, you messing with this man. He done left all this negative energy, all these bad vibes, all this energy that you don't want. These, the cheating, the lies, the problems, the stress, all of that's left with you. Then the woman he was with, because see, when he insert himself in a woman, he picks up some of her stuff. And now he goes and he puts that in the next person. And she give him some of whatever he dealing with. A lot of hurt, broken, anger, issues, and all of that depression. All of that's just being stirred up. So when you break up with somebody and you don't take the time to properly heal your body, to heal your mind, because see, whatever's input in you, it goes through your whole blood system. So now your mind all cloudy. Your mind all confused. You feeling attacked. You feeling misused. You feeling lonely. You feeling depressed. Even though you got somebody that's dealt with you, you just not really happy. You finding problems. You struggling. You down to your last penny. You're out of money. Your account in a negative. Or you might have $5 in your account. You never understand why I'm not having no luck. Because you ain't letting your body heal. See, I'm all for the holistic stuff. You got to take time. You got to heal your body. And then when they doing it, they tell you, oh, sage your house, Palo Santo your house and all of that. But you got them windows closed and your doors closed and your curtains closed because you really don't want nobody to look in your house being nosy, quote you, or they just going to look in here and be jealous. But when in reality, you need to open them windows. You need to open them doors. You need to slide that sliding door open. You need to let some air, some pitch, some light, and all of that need to come in your house. You need to say, okay, today's Saturday, I'm home. I'm going to open up my windows. I'm going to let this fresh sunlight, this all this good energy come in. But a lot of y'all are afraid to do that. You don't know. Because when you start saging and you got everything closed and the whole house dark and all of this stuff, all the spirits just running around in a circle, running into the wall. They done hit that damn wall so hard, they about to pass out. But they not going to pass out because you keep lighting that sage and you're not understanding why that sage not cleansing your house. They say sage cleanse, but I don't feel cleansed. I still feel like I got this demon on me, or I still feel like this person watching me, or I still feel attacked by somebody. That's because the demons running into the wall in the house. It's like playing ping pong. It's just hitting the wall, just running into each other. Just, oh, okay, this demon coming out. And I don't want you to feel like it's some wicked stuff I'm talking about. But anything you're trying to release back out for you, or release out of your life, manifesting new things, it requires you to open them doors, open them curtains, open them windows, and let the old out and the new come in. It's not gonna happen as long as you got everything closed up, you got the windows, the curtains closed. And I know this for a fact, when I travel with my job, if I can't even crack the window in my room, I won't sage. I won't use no Palo Santo. I won't do none of that. You know why? Because I can't open the window. So I can't open the window. What am I going to light this stuff up for? For whatever's on me and in my mind, it's going to be right back on me and in my mind when I wake up, because all it did was circle around in the room. Came out for a little fresh air and went right back in. We got to learn how, when we leave a man, don't jump in no relationship. Give yourself 90 days or longer to heal. Drink your waters. Flush your body. Take detox. Take you a natural detox. Detox out all of that badness. Let all this stuff come out of you. You know, I told a lady this one time. I say, she was saying she was going to get back in a relationship. I said, what you rushing for? Well, I don't want to be around here by myself. My friend's going to say something. Okay. What you rushing for? Because that's not what you rushing for. They want you to rush and do that. That's what you think they want you to do. But why you won't take time and heal yourself? Why you won't take time and say, I ain't ready to date right now. I need to clear my mind. I need to get out of this and move on before I jump into another relationship. We don't realize that it's just that simple. I broke up with old boy in 2000. And I took off. And I saw a couple of people in between that. And the first time I went back to an ex that I keep going back and leave and go back and leave. And I finally said, Takresha, what are you doing? Because you finna destroy that man. You're going to drag the hell out of that man because of what your ex did. So I said, nah, I can't do this. And we spent the weekend together on the beach. Had a great time. Sat out on the balcony and talked for hours. And nothing went on. It was just, you know, rekindling. And he was all excited. And he was like, we finally gonna make this happen. As I'm driving to work, I text him. And I said, I can't do this. And I remember him responding back to me saying, this is what I'm talking about. You act like I don't have no feelings. You keep playing with my heart. I was like, you shouldn't have put your heart in it this fast. But I apologize. But I know right now I'm damaged. See, it take a woman to say she damaged. A lot of women ain't going to say that. You afraid to really say what's going on with you. But I told him, I said, I'm damaged right now. And I feel like everything I do is going to make you miserable. And I don't want to make you miserable because I got too much respect for you. I want us to stay friends. But I don't want you to feel like I'm playing with you. And he was like, that's because you're going back to old boy. And nope, I'm not going back to him. I got to heal because I was broken. I was hurt. And I told him that. And right now he tells me, I now understand what you was talking about. And I appreciate you putting it to me that way, because I would have ended up hating you in the end. And he would have. Because I would have gave him hell. I would have been the hardest person for him to deal with. And then he would have been around here and we would be enemies, but we're still friends. You know, and that's all that matters. The friendship out trumps anything. It trumps everything in my life. I'd rather be your friend and we be friends forever than me destroying our friendship and we end up being enemies. I don't want to be anybody's enemy. And I feel like if you love me, you will let me give me that respect and accept what I'm saying to you and understand she's being honest with me. She could have just drugged me with this. And then I started dating somebody. Well, not really dating, but we was getting to the verge of dating. And of course, COVID happened and things happened. But with COVID, it shut down a lot of stuff, which required me. I didn't stop working and my life just kept going and it got a little bit more stressful. So that didn't kind of pan out, but the friendship stayed there. And I'm thankful for that. But see, a lot of people feel like when you break up with somebody, everybody you break up with hates you. See, me and my kids' fathers, I got four babies and three baby daddies.